Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip, fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Hey, we want some birthday cake. Hey, we want some red balloons. Hey, we want shenanigans. Hey, we want a can of squirt. I like bowling. Heck no, I won't do what you tell me. No, sir, I won't do what you tell me. Hey, jerk, I won't do what you tell me. Kick rocks, I won't do what you tell me. Hey, bucko, I won't do what you tell me. Get lost, I won't do what you tell me. Scram, I won't do what you tell me. Ah, I won't do what you tell me. Hey, let's play Boggle.
Everybody, good morning. We are Toucher and Rich. As young Nicholas, sickly Nicholas, tries to get into my computer. No, he's sick with a cold now, something that we could catch. Well, I mean, he's signing his gemelli. And now he's going to get all my pertinent information. The Jamel man.
It's going to be good to catch up with Dan Roach this morning.
See how he's doing. So Danny Roach is on.
Yeah, he is. He'll be on at 7:20 with us. It's got to be a rough couple of days for him, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, the two people who probably need the most checking up on, Dan Roach and Jared Garabas, both on the show with us this morning.
One much more angry than the other.
Well, Garabas, and you know, obviously we love Jared Garabas.
He's ready to fight everybody. On,
but I mean, he's gone crazy.
Wow.
Like he's just gone crazy. And like and the stuff that he's saying is obviously that of a passionate fan, but it's also of somebody who I think has lost the ability for rational thought through all of this. So I mean, which he'll probably readily admit, but he is not in a happy place. And I know that obviously most people in the media loved covering Alex Cora, and we'll get into all the other stuff that happened yesterday. With that, but it's one of those situations that I don't care how much you like the guy. I mean, you can't sit here and say any excuse for why he should have stuck around. It's going to be an interesting day. But Dan, of all people, like Dan hides it better than most. Garabas just lets it out. Like Dan, like had a couple of things on Twitter that you could just tell that you could see the sadness through the words. And really, is there anything worse than like a sad Dan Roach?
Fred, this may be the one day you get him. This may be the one day you push him over the edge. He looks like he's right on the cliff.
So we can talk to him about his dead father and everything else and really get him going?
I think you could probably get him today.
Okay. Well, I will try my best to get him going. But, yes, Alex Cora is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because Dan Shaughnessy was here after the show. He was going to go on the Zolak and Bertrand show. And he was saying that he had talked to four people and they were going to kind of try to ride it out, which I discussed it with him. And I'm like, why the hell would you ride it out with him? He's going to get suspended for 2 years. And you have this big weekend coming up where everyone's going to shake Wally's hand. I mean, this sounds like something that's a very bad idea. And then sure enough, there he goes. He is out. So Karabas did not want him to get fired.
No. Well, and not only does he not want him to get fired, but he's mad that the investigation was only about the Red Sox and the Houston Astros.
He's like on Twitter answering Evan Drellick back, investigate the other seven or eight teams, you a-hole.
He's
going after everybody.
He's yelling at Evan Drellick, who, reported something bad that happened that shouldn't happen in baseball. You know, just because everyone else does it, or if they do, it doesn't mean that the people who did it shouldn't get punished. You know, it's like one of those things where, everyone else did it. Okay, well, it's all bad. This is bad stuff, and it shouldn't happen in baseball. And maybe everyone else should be investigated. But right now, Alex Cora is the center of the one investigation that's been going on between these two teams. He's the guy. So maybe there'll be later ones, but it's not like you can just turn your head and say this isn't that bad because other people have done it. They might get theirs in the end, and they might not. But we do know that Alex Cora was just, and it's such a stupid scheme, too. It just comes back to that. Every time I hear this, I see it written up, and just the word trash cans is thrown out there.
He loves trash cans.
He loves the trash cans. He does.
Yeah. Just bang away.
Mm-hmm.
Very subtle.
Yep.
I was at a bar yesterday, and there were two guys talking about, you still got to hit the ball. I said, if you're a major leaguer, you can't have a fastball. You're not a major leaguer.
Yeah, it's a little easier to hit the ball when you know it's going to be a fastball.
Yeah, if you can't get around on a fastball as a major leaguer, you're not a major leaguer.
Yeah, that is probably one of the worst defenses I've heard of the sign stealing. Is that, you still got to hit it. Well, if every ball was a fastball,
the pitch is straight.
Then you know what? Then just set up a batting machine.
Yeah.
You know, just set up the old machine to shoot it right down the pipe every single time, because that's essentially what you get when you know what pitch is coming.
Well, I mean, if I know if I'm a professional baseball player, I know a 95 mile an hour pitch is coming, I can get around on it.
Yeah, of course you can.
I wouldn't be playing Major League Baseball. I mean, I could be a pitcher and get around on a 95 mile an hour fastball. It's just what I do. There's not a lot of tryouts where you're going to go and say, Skip, I top out at 88. I can't get my bat around on anything over 88. Hence out off speed pitches. That's why I think they're successful, is that you can trick people.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
Wow.
Your arm angle, everything looks the same when you throw a changeup.
And then the pitch isn't straight. That would be a problem.
Or a changeup.
Yeah.
I mean, you can...
Might come in slower than usual.
Yeah, you can mask the changeup.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself. But I like Jeff Passan. He has the Rage Against the Machine.
I was just about to say something. It's like, just to show you that he's not your dad's baseball writer. And I like Jeff Passan. He seems okay when he's on with us. But in the back, it's a bunch of these baseball books. And then just prominently placed, right in the center, is Evil Empire by Rage Against the Machine.
And then also Dark Side of the Moon is right next to it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Do you know who Jeff Passan went to college with and, I believe, roomed with while he was in college?
It's D.A.
That's correct.
Yep, that's right.
Okay,
that's
so correct. It goes Pinkerton. It goes Rage Against the Machine, Pinkerton.
Oh, and Radiohead. Then, Okay, Computer.
And Dark Side of the Moon.
Yep. Now I'm just now noticing that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
So do you think Jeff ever woke up in the middle of the night with somebody wiggling his this little piggy went to market?
Perhaps.
This little piggy wrote for Yahoo.
Oh, man. Jeff, why are there so many shoes underneath your bed?
Oh, man.
Really? So he roomed with D.A.?
That is the rumor, that he roomed with D.A. or lived on the same floor or something like that.
I think we've talked to him about that. That's right. Syracuse, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
One day I opened up his door and for pow, it was a series of women's pumps that came out. So the Daily News says, Curse of the Scambino. Which is very good. Very original.
Well, I mean, I think the front page of... It's either the Globe or the Herald this morning is just, you're out.
The Herald is still a newspaper.
Lack of imagination there.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good
Mandates are a little different for the headline writers, I think.
Yeah, yeah. By the way... in
the Globe.
There's this weird, like, internet contingency that's just like, why is the Globe not reporting on this? Oh, the Globe, because they're owned by... you're hiding something. And I'm like, dude, it's been literally all over the front page of the Boston Globe ever since this story broke. I mean, I know that there's some people who just, like, hate the Globe and all this, but, I mean, you can't... Like, they've been reporting on all of this. Now, there was a stupid article that Chris Gasper wrote yesterday that was comparing what Alex Cora did to Spygate and, like, you know, and throwing that in there. It just seems like kind of a dumb article. But, I mean, I'm not going to get all angry. Oh, why did you bring the Patriots into this? But I saw a lot of that, too. And I'm like, all right. So because they need to write a million articles. Because there's deadlines and there needs to be space to be filled. So they wrote one. Don't read it if you don't like it. If you don't like them comparing the two... Fine.
It rained last night. Perhaps stepped on the paper.
That would be to keep your feet dry. Yeah, you could probably do that.
No,
step on paper.
It would be like a, what is it, putty, a silly putty. May I read the front page off your tootsie?
So instead of they're investigating trash cans, shouldn't someone look into Guy Fieri? Well, I mean, I think that that's probably the best thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
How he made such sweet nachos, he's apparently just like cheating.
All right.
Cora can go work for him now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good luck in a job. That place is booked every night. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
All right, let's get into the nitty gritty of what happened yesterday with that and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do 98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. Rich, what is going on?
15 months after winning a World Series, Alex Cora is out as manager of the Boston Red Sox after being named as the mastermind in that 19-page report from Rob Manfred chronicling how the 2017 Astros cheated their way to a World Series title. The Red Sox didn't wait until the second part of the report, Manfred 2 Electric Boogaloo, was released that damned everything that the Sox did the year they won the World Series. Although in a total cop-out fashion, they said in the wording of the statement that Cora wasn't fired and that the team and Cora mutually agreed to part ways.
Well, I think that's for the benefit of Cora.
You don't say. I mean, of course it is. Yeah. But I think that that's something that, you know, you're not really putting the hammer down.
You think that's phony baloney?
No, of course. Well, in a joint statement from John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and Cora, they say, quote, today we met to discuss the commissioner's report related to the Houston Astros investigation. Given the findings and the commissioner's ruling, we collectively decided that it would not be possible for Alex to effectively lead the club going forward, and we agree mutually to part ways. Mm-hmm. They added, this is a sad day for us. Alex is a special person and a beloved member of the Red Sox. We are grateful for his impact on our franchise. We will miss his passion, his energy, his trash cans, and his significant contributions to the communities of New England and Puerto Rico. And then Cora added to that, he said, quote, we agreed today that parting ways was the best thing for the organization. I do not want to be a distraction to the Red Sox as they move forward. My 2 years as manager were the best years of my life. It was an honor to manage these teams and help bring a World Series championship back to Boston. I will forever be indebted to the organization, the fans who supported me as a player, a manager, and in my efforts to help Puerto Rico. This is a special place. There is nothing like it in all of baseball, and I will miss it dearly. Now, these comments here, there's some comments from the past that are coming up that seem to have a whole new meaning now that we know that we know, such as this video right here from last year during the Red Sox London series against the Yankees, in which Carlos Beltran was a member. Yes, that Carlos, same Carlos Beltran who was a member of the 2017 Astros that was accused of sign stealing. Now, this clip right here where he's talking about Beltran seems to have a little bit of a different meaning.
A good weekend on the field. You know, that's a good offensive team. We know that. They're a lot better than last year. The attention to detail is phenomenal. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran. You know, I know how it works, you know. He's helping a lot. You know, they're paying attention to details, and we have to clean our details. It was eye-opening the last 2 days from top to bottom. And I'm not saying, you know, devices and all that stuff. It's just stuff that the game will dictate and will scream at people. And it's right there. And throughout the evening, you know, I was looking and I saw it, you know. And right now they're a lot better than us.
I mean, he straight up said, I'm not saying devices or anything, but I saw him looking and I saw him doing it, so we're going to have to change up some things.
I wonder if the Mets are worried.
Well, think about this. Okay, so yeah. Joel Sherman, to your point, because there's a lot of things, you know, dominoes mm-hmm. that are going to fall from all this. So Joel Sherman is a writer for the New York Post. He covers the Mets.
He's a piece of garbage.
He may be a piece of garbage, yeah, but he wrote this. He said, quote, the Red Sox were worried about the distractions of having Cora, who guided them to a World Series. What do you think the Mets think of Beltran, who has given them zero games as a manager to date and whose accomplishments as the manager of the Mets is lying to reporters about what he did when he was with Houston? So now they're taking a look at him and going, all right, well, here's a guy that obviously is probably, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's going to be some stuff reported on all of that. Right now, the players are getting off scot-free. And at the time, in 2017, he was just a player. So I wonder if he's going to be, you know, get out of this unscathed.
And now the question is, who's going to replace Alex Cora? And I'm wondering, reading about all of this, and Major League Baseball is going to take, what, 6 more weeks to do this? I mean, it took 2 months to investigate the Astros, and they're about 10 days or a week into investigating the Red Sox. So it's going to be a little while. It's not going to be right around the corner. If you're a member of Alex Cora's staff, you can say to the Red Sox all you want, I knew nothing about this. But there's no conclusive proof that you didn't. Major League Baseball is going to search every nook and cranny. Even if you specifically didn't direct the players to the video room, if you had knowledge of it and didn't do anything, you're still guilty. So, you know, guys like Ron Renicki and Carlos Fabelis, who's a third base coach that has some minor league managing experience, whose name has been brought up as a possible replacement. If you're the Red Sox, and even though you think there isn't any problem with anyone on the staff, can you really hire anyone the staff? You have to go outside the dugout. You can't hire a pitching coach or the hitting coach or the third base coach because all of them might be implicated or one of them might be implicated after you hire him.
And the other thing, I mean, you raise a good point because think about it. Right now, if you're not on a coaching staff, you aren't any good. You know, it's like all of these teams right now have already shored up most of their coaching staff.
And special assistants and things and like that.
Like you're on a team right now. You're working for a team. And on top of that, you have another premier management opening that you have to fight with the Astros over if there is one good guy out there. You're fighting with the Astros to get him
right.
Here. So,
American League manager, a child could do it. they couldn't. Tell me what you have to do.
Change pitchers.
Okay,
You have to manage the bullpen effectively.
I have a bullpen coach and a pitching coach. What do I got to do?
Listen to advice, but then look at splits and make your own mind.
So I have a guy who gives me all the sabermetrics. What do I have to do?
Make sure that you focus on these things and formulate your own opinion based on the numbers you're given.
Wow, it sounds very difficult. You're handing me the answers to a test, and I have two guys to check my work.
And like any manager, you have to manage egos in the clubhouse and make sure everyone plays for you, right?
Well, yes, you can't let them get out of control. But in terms of day-to-day managing, I don't have to do anything.
I don't know. Maybe there is a guy out there somewhere. You just got to think outside the box.
What if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you?
Yeah.
Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there?
Don't laugh. I bet you anything he's under consideration if a guy like Veritek gets the job.
Oh, it would be the best.
If Veritek gets the job, which everyone in the world around here seems to want, if Veritek gets the job, I bet you anything there's a phone call because technically Gomes is like a roving hitting instructor for Arizona, right?
Well, Gomes would come out with an American flag every day. Like, he'd just wave an American flag all over the field.
Of course he would. I mean, listen, he wouldn't take any guff from anyone.
We whooped their ass!
Is there a more embarrassing sports moment than when Kansas City won, and he wasn't even, like, playing, he wasn't on the roster during the World Series? He stole the microphone and took over the World Series rally
with an American flag. To further your point, there is a DJ who's been very successful in Kansas City named Johnny Dare. And I was driving home from work one day listening to Johnny Dare. And they said, who's the guy that took the American flag?
Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon.
And he wasn't on the playoff
Alex
roster.
Alex Gordon. Alex
Like, people
Gordon.
In Kansas City did not know who he was.
I mean, it was awesome. And he was taking that American flag. He was dying to take the mic. And he was taking the American flag and poking people in the butt with it who were talking as if to go, hey, man, I'm here, too. Come on, man. You know,
it's unbelievable what they did. What they did. Not you.
No.
You had nothing to do with it. What did we find out? He had like 30 at bats.
Y'all want to be politically correct? I'm the unpolitically correct person. We whooped their ass.
And everyone's still like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't think we have any opinion of you, to be quite honest.
Imagine the audacity to take the American flag and wave it.
There's really no preconceived notions that we have of this person that we really have no idea who they are holding an American flag.
The conversation was literally, who is the guy that had the American flag?
Yeah, 30 at-bats.
It's unbelievable what they did!
30 at-bats, he hit 167 that year.
Yeah. And none in the postseason.
And he was retired right afterwards. Didn't have another year in the majors after that.
Well, I mean, you gotta bring him back. Bring him back. Bring back the magic. Whatever you say, it's the intangibles.
Yep. Wakefield will be the pitching coach. Gomes will be the hitting coach. Watch.
Yeah, I want a knuckleballer as my pitching coach.
Veritek will just take the job and hire all his friends.
Johnny Gomes would be great because he would be like Captain America.
All right, for content, what would be better? Is if they hire Johnny Gomes or if they hire Curt Schilling?
Well, you can't hire Curt Schilling.
Why not?
Well, they just check his face.
I don't know, John.
I'm not going to jail.
Why do you think they couldn't hire Curt Schilling? That it would be a disaster?
Of course.
Right.
It would be a PR disaster, but it'd be fun for us.
I was just giving the okay sign. That's it. I mean, it might be upside down, but it's an okay sign. Just, I thought they played okay. Don't read anything into it.
Yeah, Curt Schilling is such a piece of crap that I would not wish him on the Red Sox. No, Johnny Gomes would be the greatest.
Schilling would like randomly disappear for a Trump rally or something.
Oh, yeah,
where did he go?
His big Trump rally.
Go a little further.
That's a good point. I have to go further.
I mean, you passed Trumpville up 10 years ago. It's like
in fairness, he got him elected, and he won Massachusetts based on his rally that had more camera people than it did actual voters.
Like I say, do or die.
That's right, do or die. Bring in Johnny Gomes. We need the hacksaw.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'd hold everyone accountable.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. That might even be more fun than the Bobby Valentine year.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
You think?
Yeah, well, yeah, Gomes.
His post-game press conferences would
Gomes
be
is a wrestler. He's like Hulk Hogan.
Hacksaw Johnny Gomes. We've said that before.
He would wrap himself in the flag and run around.
Yeah, July. The early part of July would be ridiculous with Gomes here. That's true.
That wouldn't burn out the clubhouse at all. They would just be like, wow, this is great all the time.
Do you know why we beat him? Because all y'all people had our back.
Yeah,
y'all
did.
Want to be politically correct. Hacksaw Johnny Gomes, we beat that guy too. Raising the flag, he's the voice of the team. He's been there since August. Look at me.
incorrect guy right here. The Cincinnati.
Not Guido, not Dyson, not Escobar.
Johnny
not Hosmer, Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain.
Not
Salvador Perez or Nedjos. Not someone who actually played in the game. We whooped their ass. Who's that dying to get in the scene? Hacksaw Johnny Go. There's no base. Who next year's not going to be on the team? Hacksaw Johnny Go.
Bring him here.
Yep.
Bring
I would be all for that. All right, Rich, when we come back, what will we talk about?
Bruins have a major, 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 major problem.
All right, we will discuss that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Boston's home for sports. Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
The Bruins have a huge problem.
And the Bruins get a skate on it, and they'll exit the puck. Now we've got to stop as Rask is down in the blue paint. 18:48 left here in the first, and we're scoreless. And Don Del Negro will start to jog on the ice.
He might have taken an elbow or a shot up high from Bemstrom. Bemstrom came through the crease area and caught him with a bit of an elbow up high, and Bruins now having a long conversation with Bemstrom going after him. They just realized it. He was behind the play. Nobody saw it. He was coming back through the crease. Hard to tell whether it was intentional or not, but Halak's going to have to come in. He's going to have to go get checked out.
An elbow to the head from Emil Bemstrom knocks Tuukka Rask out of the game, sending him into concussion protocol, and nothing is done in retaliation. The Bruins don't win.
This is another instance of, and then they made the excuse that they didn't know. And
knew after the first period when everyone saw it on video.
Yep, they did once again send a message that teams can F with their best players and they'll do nothing in retaliation. And the excuses, as you were mentioning, Fred, from the players are starting to get ridiculous, like this one from Charlie Coyle.
I don't know if guys saw replay. I didn't see anything personally. Yeah, so I can't even... I can't talk about it because I didn't see it.
Okay, so reportedly the players did see what happened during the intermission. Their answer? Some cross-checking, little stick work aimed Bemstrom's way. That's it. Now, I don't want to say that I've been saying this all season long, but I have been saying this all season long. Teams are targeting the Bruins' best players, and they are doing absolute jack to respond. I love this Bruins team, but right now, there's a perception around the league that they are soft. They were bullied around in the Stanley Cup final. They're being bullied around right now. Take a run at Pastrnak. Okay, cool. Give the number one guy in goal a concussion? No biggie. Something's got to change. And here's Bruce Cassidy on the hit afterwards. Here's what he had to say.
Well, it's an elbow in the head. It's a penalty is what it is. But they missed it, so you move on. And it's just unfortunate it happens to your number one. It was pretty clear to me. Should our guys should have been a better response? I think there could have been. Yeah, but I don't know if they saw it in real time. Pointed out after the first period that, you know, that our goaltender got bumped, but... I mean, listen, it's a little bit late then. You can't, you know, take the law into your own hands. You can certainly address it with the player on the ice if you felt it was, you know, inappropriate. I think some of our guys did that, but you got to get back to playing.
Like, they were even getting mocked by the Columbus Blue Jackets Twitter account when they wrote after that, quote, "Love to see the boys defending Artendi," with a face emoji blowing smoke. Even mocking the Bruins. Tortorella, on the other side, too, also seems to be taking the whole thing lightly.
It's good for him to go through that a little bit.
He's talking about Emil.
Bemstrom.
Yeah, Bemstrom, who ended up hitting with the head. And there was a little bit of cross-checking. And this is Tortorella talking about.
It's good for him to go through that a little bit. I mean, the league isn't what it used to be when it comes to that stuff. But it's good for him. He stood in there. He didn't bow his head. He stood in there and looked at people and played well, played a good hockey game. We kept him out the last few minutes. We don't need anything going on there. I thought our team handled themselves very well around him.
If you're not going to respond when a team gives your number one starting goalie a concussion and knocks him out of the game, when are you going to respond? Like, if you right now gave me a list and said, okay, what do you think the top three things that would cause the Bruins to lose their minds and have to retaliate, what would they be? I'd say, well, number one, if you take out Patrice Bergeron. Number two, Tuukka Rask. And number three, Pastrnak. And all three of them deserve a ridiculous amount of retaliation. And I don't agree with Bruce Cassidy. The guy obviously has been doing this for forever, and he knows way more. But I think you can retaliate once you find out what they did. Let's just say everyone's innocent and nobody saw what happened. And there at no point after that, during that first period, did anybody know that it was intentional or that it could have been intentional. Okay, fine. But you come out of that intermission after everyone has seen that video and you go off. There's got to be some sort of way, especially when the game starts getting out of hand. Like, I mean, at what point do you wait? I know they want to win the game, but you cannot send that message to the rest of the league that the Bruins can take out their best players and nothing happens. And it's an issue, and it's been an issue all season long.
The other part of it is, I mean, Bemstrom is not a goon. He's not a big guy. He's not one of those 6 foot.
6 foot tall, 190.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
I mean, he's just a guy who has 4 or 5 goals on the season, looked at the goaltender as he skated up to him, and then looked away as he raised his arm and hit him on the side of the head. If you see that on video and there is no retaliation, it was a direct hit. It was a sneaky way to do it, but it was deliberate. And I don't quite understand what's going on here. I don't. And the Bruins are in first place. They may very well get the top seed. They may very well win their division. But in the playoffs, things get ratcheted up. You're going to need some of this to protect your players because things get a lot more intense in April and May. So they have some time here to address this problem. But I agree with you, Rich. It is a problem.
What was one of the reasons they lost in the Stanley Cup final? Because the other team was more physical. Because they were more physical and they got bullied around. Now, there's also that, of course, Patrice Bergeron completely disappeared.
Rask was playing with a broken jaw.
But, I mean, Charles.
I don't think the bullying
was... I mean, Charles was playing with a broken jaw.
Owen, go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
So, my issue with the Bruins, Carlos said after the game that he went to Bemstrom and he asked him to drop the gloves, and Bemstrom said, I'm not doing it. Carlos' problem that he asked him. Because, in my opinion, guy takes a run. You see the video... Take the law into your own hands, and between losing games, you got a 5-2 lead, and games like last night, this team is very unlikable, and I'm starting to get really agitated with this team.
Yeah, they certainly aren't sticking up for themselves. There's no question about that.
No, they're soft. Right now, unfortunately, they are a soft team. And it's, as I said, this is not something that came out of nowhere. It's unfortunately a trend, and, I mean, when you're getting even mocked by the Twitter account of the opposing team that's laughing at you for not doing anything in retaliation, then it is a perception all around the league. And unfortunately, if you're someone like Pasternak, you're probably not liking the fact that now teams think, you know what, I can take a run at this guy. If you're going to be that good, and I know that happens normally, but you know, some of the best teams that have a guy who's absolute dynamite on offense have somebody's got his back. And right now, who is that guy? Chara is too old to be that guy. I know he should be, but I mean, and also the evidence shows that this is not, he's not retaliating when he needs to retaliate.
Well, they can't afford Chara to do that too well.
That's the other thing, is that you don't want him to be the guy.
No, I mean, Backes could be the guy, but he's not good enough to play enough. And
Miller's out. I mean, he's, who knows when he's getting back. I mean, that's a sad situation too. But yeah. What are you going to do in the meantime?
I mean, Richie's a guy that's supposed to be able to throw his body around, but he's terrible. So it will be interesting. I don't know where we talked to Billy about this, and he's going to be on today at 9. I don't know where you're going to put a guy. You're just going to put a guy in, you know, on the fourth line.
That's the problem. Yeah. You need a guy who's skilled enough at the offensive end, too.
Yeah.
And those are not easy to find. Right. But if you're the Bruins, that is the one really glaring weakness that you have on this team.
But unfortunately, you can't just go out and get a Sean Thornton anymore because they have to be able to skate.
I mean, the shortages of Milan Lucic's in the world is out there.
Well, I would.
Even Milan Lucic isn't Milan Lucic anymore.
Milan Lucic is one of the worst players in hockey.
Yeah. But I mean, at the time, he was a guy who could score and also would absolutely wreck your world.
And unfortunately, that has gone the way of the dodo.
Maybe, but we'll expect to see Halak in the net for a while now. I guess Rask is going to start his break a little bit early, including, of course, tomorrow night when the Bruins take on the Penguins at the Garden. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Now, Dan, you were saying, when's the next time they play the Blue Jackets? Not until March?
2 months. March 16th is the final home game with Columbus at the Garden.
Well, maybe Rask will be out of concussion protocol by then. Well, that sucks.
I would guess. I would guess that he's out. But what's good? The good news is you have to bring up another goalie. So you might get Babasensa or something that's doing it. That'd be nice. Relive your old Red Wings days.
I was just wondering if Halak got hurt last night, who was going to play net?
Babasensa.
Is he?
Is he still the
goalie? Does he travel?
Coach?
Oh, no. It's interesting, too, because Jack doesn't call him that. Jack calls him Essenza, I believe.
No, it's Essenza.
I know. It's Jack, you know, styling a little bit.
Oh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Rich, what's coming up?
Well, we have somebody who, once again, retired before the age of 30 in the NFL. A superstar out of the league.
As smart people shall do, we will be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. If you're listening this morning at 8:35, for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett in the Blackhearts live at Fenway on August 26th, a show that many of us will be attending. There's a second show added. Tickets on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. Visit RedSox.com. And Vince Neil is a must-see. There's some talk of where people on the show want to sit, and this is a show I'm going all out on. This is a show that I am spending what it takes.
It's going to take a lot. These are expensive tickets.
I don't care.
Expensive tickets.
The conversation yesterday was fantastic. Well, you know, Bird was like, "Yeah, you can stand with me," and I'm over in the corner near section 2 or 3, and Fred's like, "You know what? For this show, I'm spending as much money as possible. I'm second row center. That's it."
I went to like seventh row center, so I get a little bit of.
That's where we were with
up.
Kiss, and it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. I just want to stare at Vince Neil struggling through the show. That's all I want in life. All right, Rich, what's going on?
I mean, this was pretty sad, but you feel good for the guy, Luke Kuechly, who obviously is still one of the best out there. He has announced his retirement with a video that he put on the Panthers' Twitter account yesterday.
For me, now is the right opportunity to move in a different direction. And, you know, there's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So I thought about it for a long time, and I think now is an opportunity for me to step away with. I just want to say thank you to the coaches, the players, the support staff, the training staff. Everybody involved with this organization has been the best from top to bottom since the day I got here. Thank you, Panther fans. Thank you, everybody in the NFL, for your constant support. And now it's time to move in a different direction.
Rob Gronkowski tweeted, "Congrats, Luke Kuechly, on early retirement. You were a fearless player out there on the field. So, when are you coming back?"
Yeah, I was at the game where they retired his jersey at Boston College. And to say the least, it was depressing.
Well, think about it. 28 years old.
There's about 2,000 people.
That's a whole other thing.
Right, and they're all just Luke Kuechly fans. They left after that.
Yeah, it was like raining. Oh, it was just.
But think about that. 28 years old, and he is continuing a trend. He joins, of course, Gronk, who retired at 29, Andrew Luck, 29, Cam Chancellor, and Calvin Johnson at 30. And you look at Keekly's resume, and it's just mind-blowing.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Maybe first ballot.
I mean, how about a fantasy football Hall of Famer as well? If you had him on your team for the last several years, you were absolutely
well.
You know, it was just the guy, that team, the stuff he was able to do and the turnovers. I mean, the guy was amazing.
No one had more tackles during Keekly's career. Had over 1,000 tackles in 8 years. Also had at least one interception every year, and at least one sack every year except for the last one.
The dude was just unbelievable. He was a 2013 Defensive Player of the Year, 2012 Defensive Rookie of the Year, 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro. I mean, the guy just made big plays all the time. It's hard to do much better.
Except for that one holding call in 2013 on Gronk.
Which I know a lot of Patriots fans went nuts on. They didn't call it. Is that where Belichick grabbed the ref?
That's where Brady chased the ref down the tunnel, yes, that's right.
Well, I do know this about Luke Kuechly, and it's unfortunate that the one biggest memory I have of him is, do you remember when he got knocked out cold and there was that video of him leaving on the cart and he was crying as they were taking him off the field? That was one of the first times that it truly, like he looked like he was on a, it was on a different planet, and you just saw the tears coming out of his eyes. It was like the tears of someone who couldn't just control his body at that moment. And that was when you realized these guys just are going to have a tough time in life. So good for him getting out of the game at 28 years old. Hopefully we will see him next season hosting Keekly Beach at the next at the next Super Bowl.
Oh, all right.
You know, okay. With Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
Although I never thought of him as the same type of party guy.
Oh, yeah.
Keekly karaoke, you know.
Yeah, they'll get together and they'll throw like a sweet bash.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Rob Gronkowski and other Patriots news, there was an awesome report that came out yesterday. It was this guy who like was begging for credit. He was saying that I have heard from my sources that Brady has moved back into his house that he owns in Connecticut. And to that immediately, Tommy Kern was like, he doesn't have a house in Connecticut. He does not own a house in Connecticut. And it just so happened to be in the same day, both Giselle and Tom Brady put out videos and pictures of them inside their Brookline home. Oh, and this person was begging to get credit for the whole thing, too.
I saw something where they, like...
He doesn't own a house in Connecticut. It's like, yeah, what if I was to tell you that Tom Brady moved back into his house in Connecticut, and immediately Curran's like, he doesn't own a house there.
Did you read
I've placed three calls. Trust me, he doesn't own one.
Did you read the one where they said that Giselle, like, packed up all the crap in their box?
Oh, that's the best one. Cleaned it out like never before. I mean, it was spick and span.
Yeah, that she had...
like, what does she have? Like, a bless this mess sign that hangs over the... how do you have, like, all
I'm
your
sure
stuff
they have
all
that.
Over
yeah.
the thing? Okay.
The inspirational thing that hangs on the refrigerator.
Right, yeah. All the family photos.
That's
Tom
right.
Brady's walking out with a box as if he was just, like, fired from a job.
That's right.
Yeah, be a champion today, little, like, logo.
Yeah,
he's got the bobblehead of Bill Belichick sitting under there.
They have the cat on the wire hanging there.
That was the dumbest report. I mean, I was like, oh, are you out of your mind? But it was great. I mean, so I was actually watching Tommy Curran last night, and he tried not to laugh while reading that report. He's like, man, he doesn't own it. I even, like, just to make sure, called and double-checked. Said, nope. He ain't got a house in Connecticut. I don't know what people are saying. I don't know where that came from.
No, well,
but they cleaned out that suite, though. Woo.
Yes, indeed, they cleaned out the suite.
All the popcorn kernels from years past have finally been vacuumed up in the party suite.
Yeah, they just 365 days a year they just have the suite all dolled up. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.